might be hearing in some of the clips that March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. And we have a doctor from Piedmont Medical Center joining us to help educate all of us about the message during this month. So let's welcome Dr. Birju Shah to Palmetto Mornings. And good morning, Dr. Shah.
Thank you very much. Good to be here. Good morning.
All right. Well, what we've learned when it's different months and we're able to shine a brighter spotlight on a cancer, in this case, it's Colon Cancer Awareness Month, what do you hope is the message that people will take away during this month of March?
The important thing is to promote awareness of colon cancer. And the unfortunate thing is up to a third of Americans don't know a whole lot about it or even get the regular testing screening or interval at the regular intervals. So the important thing is to remember how preventable this disease is and how deadly it could be. It is the fourth most common cancer in America for both men and women, and it's the second leading cancer cause of deaths in the United States as well. So the scary thing about this disease is that younger and younger people are getting affected by it. Over the past 30 years, the numbers of people under the age of 50 are increasing with colon cancer. So the screening age back in 2021 was decreased from the age of 50 down to 45 for average risk individuals, and for high risk individuals, even younger than that.
Why are we seeing that? So that population is more at risk.
A lot of theories are being brought up. I think the most prevalent one is the fact that there's possibly more processed foods in our diet, and that has a lot to do with it. Other kind of lifestyle factors include obesity, smoking, a diet high in red meat, a diet low in fiber. I think also there may be earlier detection, you know, because we're doing more procedures sometimes on younger people because of other complaints or other symptoms that they might have. So all these together, but I think the important thing is being aware of what to look for and when to be screened.
Do you think a lot of people don't want to be screened because of what the screening process looks like? Like, we'll just kind of jump into that. So maybe I don't want to say sugarcoat it because we don't need to do that, but maybe talk through what exactly that looks like. And it's changed a bit, I think. So what does that look like?
I think the main causes that people don't get screened are because, one, the kind of ick factor of a colonoscopy or this part of the body that we're talking about. Another is that this disease usually presents without any symptoms whatsoever. So if they feel well, they feel no reason to get screened for it. Another is that sometimes men have some trouble going to the doctor and talking about these issues in the first place. And some women think that this disease doesn't affect them, even though it affects men and women equally over a lifetime. When it comes to colon cancer screening tests, I think the important thing to remember that it is one of the most preventable cancers that there is. The colon is the large intestine, and the bottom part of it is called the rectum. So we're talking about colorectal cancer. The all colon cancers, colorectal cancer, start out as a small polyp, which is a growth in the lining of the colon. And the goal of the procedures are to remove any of these polyps before they have a chance to turn into cancer. So the colorectal cancer tests can be split up into two categories, one being a preventative test and the other being a detection test. Now, the detection tests are the stool tests, like the Cologuard, the talking box commercials on the TV. And there's also other stool tests, one called a FIT, or fecal immunochemical test. And then there's also a CT scan that you can do. It's called a CT colonography. They have different intervals based on what you find. And whenever we're talking about the preventative tests, this is the colonoscopy, and this is considered the gold standard because the goal really should be to remove these polyps before they have a chance to turn into cancer rather than potential early detection. So that way you're hopefully preventing cancer rather than simply finding it. When it comes to a colonoscopy, what happens is that you're drinking a colonoscopy prep, you're going without any solid foods for about 24 hours before the procedure, and then you clear out all the stool from your large intestine, which can take quite a while and it can be quite uncomfortable. But the day of the procedure itself, actually, you come in for your procedure, you're laid on a stretcher, you're given anesthesia, so the procedure is generally done under anesthesia, and there's a camera at the end of a long tube called a scope. The gastroenterologist puts it into the rectum, and they look at the entire colon. The whole procedure takes about 20-30 minutes, more or less. and they remove polyps on the way out. Right after you're done with the procedure, you can have a discussion with your gastroenterologist about what they found during the procedure. Depending on the number and the size of the polyps that you might have had and your own individual risk profile, that's how an interval is discussed in terms of when your next colonoscopy may need to be. If you have no polyps and if you're at average risk, then 10 years would be your recommended interval, but it could be 5-3 years depending on what you have.
Obviously, Dr. Shaw, on this show, I recently had my colonoscopy done in January and did explain it not in your way. You were more medical reasoning. Mine was just the average takeaway. And to your point, I never felt anything during the actual colonoscopy. It was like, 20 minutes, if that. You got a good day's rest, to be honest with you. That was a good nap in the afternoon. The prep is what people always will tell you. And what I learned is, depending on where you're going and the different doctors, you have different preps. Not eating solid food, that was the hardest thing for me, but it was totally doable. I mean, I think so. If people can't get over that hurdle, it's only 24 hours and you'll do it. You'll be okay. You're not starving yourself. You just have to eat more of a liquid diet. But from everyone I've talked with, that's what they always say. I don't want to get one. I don't want to do the prep, which you do need to clean that out.
That's true. Going in with a camera. So if there's any stool in the colon, we just can't see anything. Mm. But I think most people, after their first colonoscopy, they realize that, it wasn't as bad as they thought it was. And they look back thinking, well, I'm glad that I have this peace of mind knowing that whatever was in there is now out and they've prevented their risk of colon cancer, because that's really the ultimate goal.
I know you mentioned this. We hear often the ads for the where you send the sample in.
Right, Cologuard is the most common one. Yes.
What are your thoughts on that? What is the benefit or the downside of that?
So there's the benefit being that I think it captures more people in terms of some people are more likely or more willing to get the Cologuard compared to going straight for a colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. I think the negative about it though is that one, it's not as sensitive and specific, meaning in terms of finding polyps. It's generally better at looking at larger polyps than smaller polyps, that sort of thing. So what the Cologuard does is it looks for a type of DNA that's secreted by polyps and by colon cancers itself.
Well, and if you're getting the colonoscopy, if there is a polyp, you go ahead and remove it while there, you take care of it. So it's, one and done, hopefully.
Exactly.
And you don't have to, you do that stool test, we'll call it. I mean, that's what it is, yeah, right? Stool test. And then you have to say, okay, now I have to go. And chances are you're still going to have to do the prep because they got to go in and get it out. So.
And then the other thing with that is that, oftentimes, some insurance companies will cover one screening test. And so the Cologuard will be considered the screening test that they'll cover, and yet the colonoscopy afterwards would be considered a diagnostic test. So a patient may be, on the hook for a lot more money if they go for a colonoscopy afterwards. The most important thing is to get the screening test that is right for you, that you will get. Because everything has its pros and cons. If you can get a colonoscopy, you should get that. But the main thing is that you need to get screened at your appropriate interval.
And you should have a relationship with your personal doctor. And if you don't, Dr. Shaw, how do folks, if they don't have a relationship with a doctor, they don't go for a yearly physical, and they're at age 45 and they have not had a colonoscopy yet, how do they go through the steps? What do they need to do?
So our practice is called Digestive Disease Associates, and we also practice at Piedmont Medical Center as well. Going onto our website, we have an open access colonoscopy program where if you're considered average risk, you just fill out the paperwork and we call you to schedule the colonoscopy. It's as easy as that. If you need a referral from your provider, then you can get that, but oftentimes you don't need it for a health maintenance screening test. Such as a colonoscopy. If you have some issues to discuss, some symptoms and that sort of thing, then we'd like to see in the office to kind of talk about that before the procedure. But for just a colonoscopy, this is probably the simplest way to do it.
Well, March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. If you are age 45 or older and you've not had your colonoscopy yet, this is your day to make that phone call and go ahead and get a date on the calendar. It really is totally fine. Do it. Listen, take control of your health, listen to your body, and we want everyone to be healthy and they can support, be here in the community and enjoy life to the fullest.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Birju Shah, again, we appreciate it so much, this information.